Hey church, my name's Nick, and tonight we'll be reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. So it'll be on the screen, or you can open up one of the church Bibles, or your own Bible. So Colossians chapter 1, starting from verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. My name's Phil, and I'm really glad to be with you tonight. Until the beginning of this year, I was a member of this congregation, the 7 p.m., soon to be 6 p.m. congregation. But now I attend with my wife the morning service at 9 a.m. And it's good to be back here tonight and to feel part of the family again. And we're reading through one chapter of the Bible over several weeks, really digging deep into the supremacy of Jesus. And if you remember last week, we were reminded that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Christians in this ancient city of Colossae. He'd never met them before, though. He'd never met these guys. And so he was writing this letter because he'd heard stuff about their faith, and he wanted to affirm the great stuff that he'd heard. But there were also issues that were arising that they were struggling with, that he thought, you really need to address that. And one of those issues that they were struggling with was, how can we be assured of a good relationship with God? Or in their words, how can we be sure that we have a complete Christian life, or a full Christian life? So I want us to consider that to start with, and I want you to picture in your mind a particular person. Who in your life would you say has a good relationship with God? I think we're probably less likely to use the words full or complete, and more likely to use a word like strong. Say someone's a strong Christian. Who's a strong Christian in your life? Picture someone. And what is it that that person does that's different to other people or to you? This passage tonight will help really clear the fog so that we can see how we can be assured of a good relationship with God. And there are three things we need to remember. We're going to be going through the passage progressively. There are three verses and we have 3 points. It's on page 1183 if you want to follow along in the Bibles in front of you. Here are the three things we need to remember: who we were, who we are, and how we got there. Who we were, who we are, and how we got there. How can we be assured of a good relationship with God? First thing is who we were. We need to remember who we were. Let's read verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. This is quite striking language. And what this verse is teaching us is every single Christian needs to remember his or her past. We need to remember our past. Strangers to God, we didn't know him. And more than strangers, enemies. Did you notice the language of hostility? And I think this really challenges our view of humans. When I look around our society, my observation is there's a lot of apathy. There are lots of people who are just apathetic to God in my conversations with them and hearing about their beliefs and their values. But this verse is teaching us that below the apathy, human beings, by default, are opposed to God. we set ourselves up as our own gods. And this is so comprehensive, it affects every part of us. It's both internal, notice, enemies in your minds, so our thoughts and our intentions and our desires, but also external, because of your evil behavior. What we say, what we do, what we fail to do. And this is really challenging for me personally. I'm sure that among everybody in this room who considers themselves a believer, there's just a vast variety of experience in how you remember life before you were a Christian. And for some of you, your conversion experience might be quite fresh in your memory and a precious memory to you. But for me, I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't believe in God. I don't remember a moment when I was consciously opposed to God in the direction of my life. I remember times, many times when I've sinned and felt guilty about sin and when I was annoyed with God. But I can start to actually feel quite good about myself when I think, well, you know what, I've believed in God my whole life. I've come to this church for so many years and I've been involved in all of these things and I've done all this great stuff. But this verse really ought to humble us. None of us becomes a Christian because we're good or because we're any better than anybody else or because we're well disposed to God. In fact, this verse is teaching the opposite, that human beings are opposed to God. And as Christians, we need to remember our past. We need to remember our ugly past, that we're opposed to God, his enemies. We sing this quite regularly. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I wonder if you've considered what that word wretch means. It's a very strong word. It means someone with an evil or despicable character. And the person who wrote the song, John Newton, was famously a slave trader. He was captain of slave ships. He was shipping slaves from Africa to England for many years. And when he became a Christian, and then some years later, he repented of his involvement in the slave trade, he realized how important it was to remember his past, his ugly past. And he even wrote a book about it. He wrote a book called Thoughts Upon the Slave Trade. And he described it as this, as a confession which comes too late. You can tell the emotion in his words here. It will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders. And you may not have been a slave trader in your former life. I certainly wasn't. But all of us, every single Christian, was opposed to God. A stranger to God and opposed to God. And I think this picture of John Newton is a helpful picture for what it looks like for a Christian to remember his or her past. Because if you remember your past, then it can help you make sense of your present, your present life. For John Newton, he remembered his involvement in the slave trade and recorded meticulously his involvement in order to expose the evils of the slave trade and remember the change in the direction of his life. And just so we as Christians need to remember our past, our ugly past, in order to be assured of our present identity. So how can we be assured of a good relationship with God? The first thing was to remember who we were, enemies of God. And the second thing is to remember who we are, reconciled with God. Let's read verse 22. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. What a contrast in status. Once you were this, but now you're this. And this is what it is to become a Christian, to experience a change in relational status with God. Many of you are undergoing massive changes in your life at the moment, permanent changes, where you're leaving temporary stages of life and entering into a whole new one, becoming adults, and all of a sudden the direction of your life for the rest of your life, as you know it, will be different. And my wife and I underwent a massive change last year. We became parents, and I remember sitting there at some ridiculous hour of the morning, struggling to keep my eyes open, holding our little tiny boy, and I was thinking, from this moment on, my whole life will be different. It'll be characterized by being responsible for this little guy. It'll never be the same. It's a permanent change in relationship. I became a father. I couldn't take it back. I'd become a father. And for all of us, this is important to remember, whether you have been a Christian for a long time or whether you don't consider yourself a Christian yet. Becoming a Christian is not a matter of becoming a better person or tidying your life up or becoming involved in more church activities or anything like that. It's a change in relational status with God, from enemies to friends, reconciled. And this new status is final. Look at what it says. But now he has reconciled you. Past tense. God's process of restoring our relationship with him has finished. It's happened. Many of you are starting work at the moment. There's no 6-month probation period with our relationship with God. We don't have to wait for some special sign from God that, okay, now you've made it this far and I'm happy with you, we'll continue this relationship. Once you become reconciled with God, that's it. And so if you became a believer 6 months ago or 20 years ago or 5 minutes ago, you have peace with God. You have a good, complete relationship with the Creator of the universe. And I think there's a word here for those of us who feel inferior or discouraged about our relationship with God. Maybe you're so aware of how you fail to measure up to God's standards. Well, our feelings by themselves are not an accurate indicator of how we stand with God. No matter how you feel, no matter what life circumstances you currently find yourself in, if you trust in Jesus' death in your place, you're good with God. God is with you and for you and favourable toward you. Comparison is really hard to avoid. We like to compare ourselves to other people and think that we're better or worse. You don't have to worry about comparing yourself with anybody else. Those strong Christians who are far more involved in church or university ministries. Or those Christians who seem to have extra emotional experiences in their spiritual life, or those strong Christians who know so much about the Bible or have such impressive academic knowledge. You're either enemies of God or you're friends with God. That's it. And so, of course, this is helpful for those of us who tend to feel superior to others as well. There's no levels. There's no tier one, tier two, tier three Christian. We can't level up to a higher spiritual dimension in our relationship with God. And so if you fall into the trap of thinking, well, I actually know quite a lot more than those people about the Bible, or I adhere more strictly to these certain rules that I think are really important, or I've had all of these extra experiences, or I've been a Christian for a longer time, or I do more stuff for God. Well, we need to be humbled and remember our ugly past, and remember that the change that's been brought about by God is a change in relational status, which can't be improved on. And we can't look down on others because of it. So how can we be assured of a good relationship with God? The first thing was to remember who we were, enemies of God. Second thing is to remember who we are, reconciled with God. And the third thing is to remember how we got there, the gospel. Let's read verse 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This verse might make you nervous. Notice how it starts. If you continue in your faith. If. What do I have to do? What do I have to keep doing to stay a Christian, to remain firm in my faith? But if we look closely, this is not some extra condition of our actions that we need to complete in order to maintain a relationship with God. Notice what it says, if you continue in your faith. It's a condition of ongoing faith. And what is faith? It's trust in what God has done for you. And this is so different to what we experience in human relationships that I really struggled to find an example or an illustration to help us here. When I think about the conflicts that I've experienced in my life in the last few years, family, friends, colleagues, there's always been a need to see how I might be at fault. And I wonder if you know the feeling of having a conflict with someone and, you know, you think the other person's done the wrong thing and you're really tempted to just fully lay the blame on the other person. But you know deep down, I've got to be open to seeing the plank in my own eye. I know that in conflicts with guilty sinners, all of us are sinners. All of us are liable to have contributed to conflict in some way. But this is totally not the case with our relationship with God. We're the ones who are fully responsible for the breakdown in relationship with God. And God is the one who is fully responsible for restoring the relationship. And I think this should give us great assurance. God is the one who has reconciled us to himself. And this is the essence of the gospel, of the Christian message. It's that God overcame the barrier of hostility that we put up. And he did this by sending his son Jesus to physically die his enemy's death in our place. What we hope in, what we continue to hope in, the hope of the gospel, is not that we might somehow live a good enough life to please God, but that Jesus has already done everything necessary to secure our eternal relationship with God. And I wonder if the last section seemed odd to you here. That has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I wonder if some of you were thinking, hang on, how is that possible? Aren't there millions, if not billions of people who've never heard this gospel, this Christian message of God's grace? Well, Paul was aware of this. He was a travelling missionary. His job was to reach unreached people who hadn't heard the specifics of the gospel message. But I think in this context, it's pretty clear that what he's saying, similarly to chapter 1, verse 6, where he says the whole world, is this is the only gospel. This is the universal gospel. And he's adding an extra layer of assurance to this message for the Colossians. He's saying, if you have believed in this gospel, you're on the right track. And stay on that track. Keep going. Don't start thinking that somehow you've contributed to your good standing with God, to a good relationship with God. And in different life circumstances, it can be tempting to hope in things other than the gospel. And I don't know all of your life circumstances, but I know that when things are going well, it can be tempting to forget about God and to hope in what we have, in the abundance of the things that we have. And when things are going badly, or seem to be going badly, it can be easy to give up hope altogether, let alone hope in the gospel, because God feels so distant from our pain and our hardship and our suffering. And no matter which category you're in there, this passage is helpful for reminding us of our relational status with God. That's what life's about. And that's what we need, and that's what will carry us through, and what we need to remember. The process by which we achieve this relational status, who we were, who we are. And it's also helpful for thinking about sin. There are some of us here tonight who are very conscious of sins that we have committed recently or a long time ago, and which are weighing us down and discouraging us. And there are also some of us here who perhaps undeservedly are quite proud of ourselves because we can't remember a recent time when we've committed a memorable sin, at least that we're aware of. This process of remembering our past is so important then. And I think what we did earlier in the service, when we prayed the Lord's Prayer and we asked for God's forgiveness, we confessed our sins. That is so helpful for those of us in both of those categories, those who are weighed down by our sin and those of us who feel undeservedly proud of ourselves. The practice of confession, confessing your sins, is a way by which you can remember the process by which you became friends with God, reconciled with God, the way that the barrier of hostility was brought down. Because you're recognizing it wasn't by my own merit. In fact, I'm still sinning. I'm still doing wrong things in my life. And I depend on God's grace because He's the one who has shown kindness and favour to me in bringing me to himself. So, brothers and sisters, let's remember who we were, remember who we are, and remember how we got there. Let's be assured of our relationship with God, not wavering, not moving from this gospel. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we praise you for reconciling us to you when we were your enemies through Jesus' death on behalf of us. And we ask that you warm our hearts to the wonder of this gospel of grace so that we remain established and firm, assured of our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.